time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel with a little talk, a little humor, and some beautiful music to bring in your Sunday evening. But what would our show be like without Jim Barrier? Well, it would be like all the shows I make when Jim Barrier's not on, but he is here today. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Oh, you know, I don't know if that was good or bad. Your show's great all the time, Bob.
Thanks. Well, thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Bob. Father's Day to you, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
All the dads out there. And
Well, the good dads, not the deadbeat dads or the abusive dads. We're not wishing them a happy Father's Day.
Well, we wish that they would get figured out, you know, whatever is holding them
stop
up.
Stop being a deadbeat dad. Yeah. Stop being an abusive dad. And we'll wish you a happy Father's Day someday, too.
But enough about the politicians.
Yeah, no kidding. Enough about Sacramento and Washington.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, yeah, we always have a little humor. We have a little music. We have stuff. I want to do something I don't think I've done before, but I just want to take a minute here and do a kind of a public service announcement. I'm serious about this one. Guys, dads, or whether you're a man out there and you don't have any kids, you need to get an annual checkup, especially if you're 65 or older. I have lost too many good friends and had too many close calls, and we just need to take care of ourselves. I'm going to give you a little bit of some statistics from the American Cancer Society. The American Cancer Society estimates that prostate cancer in the United States will be about 288,000 plus new cases. Kind of staggering. Between a quarter and a third of a million new cases of prostate cancer, causing nearly 35,000 deaths just in this year in American males. And one in eight men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer during his lifetime. And about 60% of those are men 65 or older. So this is why I encourage you, if you're getting up there, if you're old like me, you need to just go ahead and go in and get the test. If you've never done it, I know it's a scary thing for some guys or whatever. I saw a billboard one time. It says the number one killer of men in America is pride, because sometimes guys are just too proud to go in and face the truth and find out. Go to your doctor. So I'm just encouraging you.
Well, sometimes we just don't like getting depressed. My doctor has a nurse who thinks he's a doctor. He takes your blood pressure and then he goes, whoa, looks like you picked a good day to go to the doctor. And I'm thinking, I'll let my doctor tell me those. And then my doctor is never as freaked out as the nurse is. So anyway, you know, just wanted to give equal time to the other side here.
Yeah. So I'm just encouraging you, not to scare anybody, but just, you know, I want you to live a long, happy life. So just take care of yourself. That's all. So I just wanted to do that. So that's a public service announcement here on the Bob Siegel Show.
And if your doctor changes your eating habits and tells you to stop eating meat and stop eating anything that tastes good, I want you to know you won't really live longer, but life will certainly seem longer.
Now, here I'm on the verge of offending people, which I never want to do on your show, but I can't do it. It's just so politically incorrect. 30 years ago, you could tell this joke, and I'm going to go ahead and do it now because you're all. This is one of my favorite comedians, a Jewish comedian, and he said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you've only got 1 year to live. And he said, doctor, what should I do? And he said, move to Cleveland and marry a Jewish woman. And he said, why would I do that? He said, it'll be the longest year of your life.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now y'all need to know that I myself am Jewish, and I laughed. So we don't need to hear from the Jewish Defense League or anything because of that joke, okay?
It's a joke. And they said, you know, it was a Jewish comedian that told the joke. But anyway, I don't even know where that came from.
See, that's true. See, a Jewish comedian told that he had a sense of humor about himself and his own people, which is good. We don't see a lot of that today.
Leslie was out of town for a couple of weeks. And so what I do is I binge on movies and TV shows that she probably wouldn't choose to watch, like old Westerns, John Wayne and stuff. But I got on a kick for a few days and I was watching the old Dean Martin roasts.
Oh, they were the best.
They'd have the man of the hour. And you know what? They had Don Rickles and they had all these guys and they would get up there and black guys would get up there and tell jokes about black people. Puerto Rican guys would tell jokes about Puerto Rican people and Don Rickles would tell jokes about everybody. And everybody laughed. They didn't take it personally. They knew he was joking. But can't even do that now. Those guys would all be out of business today.
They still have some of those roasts. They're more crass. I will say stand-up comics are the last bastion of free speech. Well, talk radio, too, obviously. But But a lot of comedians are wussing out, too. There's very few stand-up comedians that will just get up and be funny anymore because they're afraid of offending people.
And some of the ones who have to lean toward more a conservative view, even if they're not evangelical Christians, but they just have a conservative value system, they're really talking about how Hollywood and how political correctness is killing comedy because you have to be so careful that you don't hurt somebody's feelings or offend somebody. And it's really killing that industry. You know, we're in a crazy time, Bob. And
that we are.
So Father's Day tonight, I've done a lot of things and some of this stuff will be reviewed. We've talked about some of these things tonight, but I was thinking back and the man that was my pastor for 20 years, and I served on staff under him at his church right there in San Diego. And he had one Mother's Day sermon. Every year, we got the same Mother's Day sermon. I knew it word for word. I'd heard it so many times. It was a great sermon. It was a great message. That kind of gives me some liberty. Somehow in my own mind, I could justify repeating some information from time to time. And when Christmas rolls around, we talk about the birth of Christ. And we should. And so some things are worth repeating. So tonight on Father's Day, ask Bob if we could talk about the founding fathers of this nation. And with
you mean those white slaveholding males that were all purely evil who we should never celebrate, whose statues should all be torn down? Are those people you're talking about, Jim?
Yeah, those guys. And they're going to have a hard time tearing down Mount Rushmore. But there are people actually saying that.
General Zod did that in Superman 2. He tore it down quite easily.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, the first two films, I love those. But there are people, they really have. They're rewriting history. They're tearing down statues. And they're calling all these guys white supremacists and slave owners and blah, blah, blah. And how many times have you heard someone say, well, America's founding fathers, they weren't Christians. There was nothing Christian about the establishment of this nation. I hear that all the time from people who, one, don't know what a Christian is, and two, haven't read their history books.
Exactly. They don't really know anything about either subject.
Yeah. So David Barton has helped me a lot, opened up an awful lot of stuff. I've got a lot of information that I've gained from him. But let's just talk about, I'll throw this one even in my notes here, but I did a tour there. He hosted a tour for pastors some years ago, and I went there, the Wall Builders, you've probably heard of them. Part of the tour, they went in the rotunda, the Capitol building, and there are eight huge paintings that circle around the walls of that rotunda, and I think all but one of them are religious in tone. There are paintings of baptisms, paintings of preachers, paintings of people being ordained. The whole thing was founded by believers. You know, they used to hold prayer meetings in there, in the Capitol. Can you imagine if they tried to do that now? If some congressman said, we want to hold a Christian prayer meeting in the rotunda. You know, there would be such an uproar. It'd be ridiculous.
But if they want drag queen reading Tuesday, that'll be accepted in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, it would, because the tail is wagging the dog. So, did you know that over half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were educated in seminaries or Bible schools?
Yes, quite a few of them. And there were a lot of our forefathers that did not own slaves, by the way, and spoke out against slavery. Yeah. That's another little known fact these days.
Yeah. The point of this is those guys, the guys that wrote the Declaration, the guys that were there at the start, they were all people whose lives were founded on principles of faith. And now, what do you always hear? The two guys, they always say, well, Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson weren't Christians. I hear that all the time. And I think, you know where they get that? They heard some professor say that who also hasn't read his history book, flat out lies. They'll say, well, they weren't Christians, they were deists.
They probably wouldn't pass an evangelical litmus test, but they did have a high respect for Jesus, and a deist in those days was different than what a deist is today.
Yeah, primarily they didn't believe in the Trinitarian expression.
Exactly. Okay, Jim, hold that thought. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
Some more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Well, you know, I know we're not going to do the Stump Jim Barrier trivia tonight because Brandon's got the night off, but you have such great bumper music, and that last tune that we just came in on was Take Five by Dave Brubeck. And if you really want to know what jazz is about, go back and listen to Dave Brubeck or listen to Milt Jackson and the Modern Jazz Quartet. Some of the greats of the early stuff, way back before, dare I say it, the Kenny G era. You know, you got they say great, great, great stuff. That's a great tune there. It's one of my favorites. Okay. So there, we took care of the music trivia tonight. Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. And they always, well, these men were not religious. Well, they were probably two of the least religious in the big picture. As you said, they might not have been, by today's standards, evangelicals or whatever. But I just want to tell you a few things about these guys. Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin drafted a statewide prayer proclamation in Pennsylvania, his home state. And he recommended Christianity in the state's public schools. We just had a commercial about a Christian curriculum for preschoolers. And Ben Franklin recommended Christianity to be taught in the state's public schools. Ben Franklin called for the establishment of chaplains and daily prayer at the Constitutional Convention. Now, doesn't that sound like a non-religious person? Doesn't that sound like a secular guy who didn't care for Christianity or was not a man of faith? Sounds to me like he had some deep, deep convictions. And
well, when people want to use them to their advantage and claim they aren't Christians, then Ben Franklin's a great man. But then with the other side of their mouth, they'll try to just denounce our entire history and all of the forefathers. Yeah. So there's no consistency whatsoever.
No, there's not. And they certainly would not take into consideration the things that I just said, the things that he actively did that promoted faith and religion, Christianity, in fact, in his own state and under his own government. Thomas Jefferson recommended that the national motto include the word God. So in God we trust. That was Jefferson, the non-religious guy. And while he served as president, he closed all of his documents with the year of our Lord Christ. In the year of our Lord Christ. That's how Jefferson closed his official documents, which, by the way, he had boxes full of them in his garage.
Did he also have them in his car?
Yeah, sorry, that was uncalled for. I've been to Washington, D.C. many times, and I love going there. I've been in the past year, and, you know, you have to be a little more careful where you go and stuff, but there's so many great things about our history there. And then I love the Smithsonian, the museums, the National Art Gallery, and those things. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. I've been to the Jefferson Memorial several times, and all inside there, it's one of the most beautiful monuments in the mall area there. And inside, there are plaques with quotes of his. And I'm going to read a few quotes from this godless Thomas Jefferson guy. He says, "Almighty God hath created the mind free. All attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burdens are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion." You get that? He claimed our religion. And he's talking about the God of the Bible. And he's talking about free will. That's an incredible thing.
Yeah, so he certainly considered himself to be a man of faith, whatever other people might think of his beliefs.
He was like friends that I have today. He didn't align himself with the organized religion and denominationalism and those things. And some of that is because they came out of a country that the people who left Great Britain primarily to come to this country were tired of a religion that was forced on them, and that the state determined what church was the right church. And it depended on what country you're from as to which church they said was correct, but they didn't want that forced on them. And we're going to get to the First Amendment in a little bit. So he says, the holy author of our religion, Almighty God, the holy author of our religion. That's powerful stuff there. It'd be hard to find any politicians today that would talk like that. I know there are some believers, and I know some personally that are in the government, and they are people of faith. So I have hope and confidence that there are voices within the system in our government that are still standing for godliness. But Jefferson, man, that's powerful stuff. Here's another quote. God gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? They need to bring him back, and he needs to talk to them today. Someone needs to get up and just read quotes.
So much for their views of separation between church and state.
Yeah. You know, that phrase doesn't appear anywhere in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or the Declaration of Independence. That's a phrase that was taken out of a letter that somebody wrote. That is not a federal document. That is not.
And even the letter where Thomas Jefferson used it, he was assuring the church that the state would not take their rights away from them. So even when he did use it, people don't understand the context of it. Okay, Jim, hold with me. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785
That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always good to be joined by my friend Jim Barrier.
So, you know, it's usually at this point that we do the Stump Jim Barrier music trivia contest, and I didn't know how to erase the technology. I was going to do Stump Bob Siegel. and I thought I would play something from a Broadway show or musical.
Well, they'd have to be the older Broadway shows. The garbage they put on Broadway these days, I wouldn't know or care. But
oh yeah, no.
If you're going back thinking, to some of the classic Broadway, I probably would know a good deal of those.
I was thinking South Pacific or
something like
those kind of things. But I thought it would have been fun. Maybe I'll get a hold of Brandon.
Yeah, we can play Stump Bob Siegel.
Stump Bob Siegel,
right?
Because that's in your wheelhouse when you get into those things. I know that. You're a movie guy.
I won't fix it ahead of time because I don't believe in ballot harvesting. So it'll be a fair contest.
Yeah. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah.
In all honesty, when we do the normal one, I have no idea what song he's going to do. At the most, he might give me what year it's from.
No, and you do very well. 9 out of 10 times, you get it correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy doing that. So my family and my friends, I'm their personal Shazam. That's an app you can put on your phone and listen to the music when you're in a restaurant or something. And they'll call me and they'll say, what is the song that does this? You know, so it's just kind of one of the fun things that we have. So
okay. You could get a job as the next Siri, Jim, because now people will go, Siri, identify this tune. That tune is Take Me Out to the Ball Game from the 1920s. Actually, that probably wasn't from the 1920s. I just made that up as I went.
Who knows? I know I do not have Siri active on my phone.
I know people that have cussed out their Siris and Alexas because they've been so frustrated with them. Those things are developing personalities.
I just turned mine off. And, you know, I am a little bit paranoid about artificial intelligence. It's getting to be very scary these days. But that's another
show. But enough about Washington once again.
No, that's artificial unintelligence.
Oh, speaking of Washington and artificial intelligence, when you were talking about the Jefferson Memorial, I'm thinking of future generations going to the Biden Memorial, and what will the plaque say? It'll say, come on, man, give me a break.
Come on, man. Oh, Lord. You know, I'm greatly concerned, and, you know, I know you are too. So let's come back to this. Separation of church and state, a phrase that doesn't appear anywhere in official documents of the establishing of this country. But what does occur is the First Amendment. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So all of these people, and I had it out one time with a very close friend, you know, through this term out, I believe in separation of church and state. I said, do you even know what that is? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And they've completely ignored that part. They've absolutely tried to prohibit the free exercise of religion. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse in the last decade.
Yeah, they'll challenge you if you say God bless you because somebody sneezed. That's not what those things are trying to say.
And it gets crazy. You know, for 20 years, I ran a soup kitchen downtown in San Antonio. We used to get donations and food from various sources. And for a while, we were going and getting food from the local food bank, which actually wasn't free. We had to pay us pennies on the dollar. But we would buy, you know, they had dented cans or food that dated, expired or whatever. And we would buy this food to use it for our soup kitchen. And every year they had an annual meeting, and all the people who represent our organizations, which almost all of them were churches or synagogues, and we're in this meeting, they're briefing us about the rules, and the woman says, now, if you use food from this food bank, you are not allowed to have any religious service connected with the serving of this food or handing it out. And everyone was kind of quiet, and I raised my hand, because I'm a troublemaker. And I said, I need to clarify, I said, if I'm serving a dinner and I'm using food from your food bank, am I allowed to pray and say grace over the meal? And she said, absolutely not. I said, why? She says, that's religious service. Now, keep in mind, this is not a federal institution. This is a local food bank. And I said, I'd like to speak to your supervisor about this. And they stopped the whole meeting. And everybody's looking at me like that, you know, just shut up, guys, sit down. And the supervisor comes in. I said, I want to clarify. I was just told that I cannot say grace over a meal that includes food from this food bank. And she said, absolutely not. So I left that meeting and went back and talked to the elders of the church and told them, and they said, we don't need their food. And we quit getting food from the food bank because they felt that it was their responsibility to keep me from praying over a meal in front of people. And
what's sad is they probably felt that way very sincerely and sanctimoniously because that's what they've been taught.
Yeah. But the point is, it wasn't even a federal institution. This was a local food bank. It wasn't even a state-run thing. But that's how far gone our society has gone. So Congress shall not establish or prohibit the exercise of religion. And then it goes on to say, or abridge the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Wow. Is that current or what?
Yeah, like they did on January 6th. Okay, Jim, hold with me. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by Jim Barrier.
And I want to just touch on a little bit of that last piece. And that's about the freedom of press, freedom of speech and freedom of press. And I've said this before. I have concerns that there are people in power and influence that would really like to stop shows like yours and the whole, you know, the Salem Broadcasting Network, and people are bringing a more conservative view. And we've watched this whole thing with Fox and Tucker, and there are people that really want to silence conservative voices. And that's just conservative. They really don't want people talking about Jesus and the Bible and the need for faith and religion in our culture. And I think we're vulnerable. I won't be surprised at all if the time comes when someone tries to, whether they do it through legislation or just martial law, like the governor that you, Nebuchadnezzar, that you've got out there just making laws up, or whether they do it through pressure with taxes. There are all kinds of things they might try to do. I shouldn't give many ideas here. But I'm concerned for the freedom that we still have to have a radio show like this where we can express our views, even though they don't agree with the ultra-liberal wing. So be prepared for that. Be concerned about that.
And the censorship always comes in the name of tolerance and inclusion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. It's just funny. It's like, you know, I've talked about Animal Farm a time. You know, they rewrite the words and they change things around to make it sound like what it isn't. And we've seen this for years. When you go vote, and you look at some of the propositions on the ballot, it's almost the opposite of what you think you're voting for.
That's how San Diego ended up passing its gas tax, because people that thought they were voting against it were voting for it. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's an old tactic, but we just need to be on our guard. Now, Ezekiel, the prophet, we're going to switch gears. We're going to get religious, folks. Ezekiel, the prophet, in the book of Ezekiel, God laments over Israel, and he says, I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall. His name was Donald Trump. I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. That's a heartbreaking passage of scripture. He was looking for intercessors, people who would stand in the gap, people who would pray and intercede and speak and be a voice.
But they were arrested by the Justice Department, and then that was that.
Yeah, that's kind of how, and it was the same old thing. You know, some of that stuff hasn't changed in thousands of years. You know, I think of all of the things that people are addicted to, power is the most addictive thing. People get a little bit of power, and we see it. We see people that we voted for or that we supported, and they get in power, and boy, they don't want to lose that power, so they start toeing the line. And they start backpedaling on things because they want that job security. They want to stay in power. Well, that's nothing new. That's an old, old song. But Ezekiel reports God's heart being broken because there was no one who would stand in the gap. And it's my opinion that God is searching for people to stand in the gap and intercede for America. And shows like this, we do that. We make appeals. And there are people I know that know how to pray. And, you know, we had Alveda King on your show, wonderful, wonderful woman. And she's doing an awful lot of good things in our country. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And she has daily posts and stuff. A lot of her emphasis is on prayer, praying for America and praying for the right things to take place. And I think we're in great need of that in our country. And I know people who do that. I told you a few months ago about a friend of mine who ran for office and he got elected to the Texas state legislature. He calls me routinely and says, Jim, we have this bill coming up, or I'm submitting this and I want you to pray. And I love that. That this guy, and I'm not even in his district, but he calls and asks for prayer. And so I'm telling you, there are those out there. But he knows that we can legislate, we can do all this stuff, but there has to be prayer backing up all of the good things he's trying to do. And I love that about Mark D'Orazio. So God is looking for that. Isaiah, this is chapter 62 of Isaiah, says, on your walls, Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who profess the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. Sometimes there's a call for a 24-hour prayer meeting. You might have read about Count Zinzendorf and the 100-year prayer meeting. They started a prayer meeting and it lasted 100 years. And they sent out missionaries, and some point to them being the start of foreign missions, the Moravians. You've heard of the Moravians. And they went out to go out and be missionaries to people in foreign lands. In fact, the Moravians were so crazy, they would sell themselves into slavery so that they could go and witness to the slaves on the slave ships.
Now, you that know, one is interesting. That one I had not heard. That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we think we make sacrifices. These guys would sell themselves as slaves so that they could go and minister to the slaves on the slave ship. That's just crazy faith. But those kind of people have existed in our history. And Isaiah says there are a watchman. And Bob, you and I are watchmen, I believe. We're to stand guard and warn people when we see danger approaching. Warn people about the enemy and his schemes.
Right here, okay, well, now I have to warn us that a commercial break is coming up, but we'll be right back.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to one last segment of the Bob Siegel Show with Jim Barrier.
And we're in the fourth quarter. Wrong sports season. Sorry. I thought of something during the break there about those crazy Moravians. Now, we had a plug earlier for Skyline Church. And Skyline Church is where I actually was converted and became a follower of Jesus back in the 60s. And then when I first started going there, it was called Skyline Wesleyan Methodist. And then there was a merger and a change, and it became Skyline Wesleyan. And now it's just Skyline Church. I'm saying all that. This is a great segue. Wesley, one of the great preachers in the history of the church. I have on my shelf the Journal of John Wesley, and I've read a lot of stuff about these guys. Wesley was on a ship where some of these crazy Moravians were, and it was the turning point in his life. He saw these Moravians, and he cried out to God, and he said, I question my own experience as a believer. He doubted that he was actually saved when he saw how devout the Moravians were, and it changed his life. And, of course, he had a huge impact and changed an awful lot about the Western church and how we think. And I don't know that I agree with every single doctrine and thing that he taught. I don't know that there's anybody I do agree with 100%, unless it's Bob Siegel.
Well, that just went without saying, Jim.
Actually, part of the fun of the show is sometimes you and I have different opinions about things. Can you imagine that?
And like, I always cut you a lot of slack because I think you have a right to be wrong once in a while.
My wife had a conversation with somebody she was very close to, and they were disagreeing on a particular point. And Leslie's pretty sharp. So they were going round and round, and she said, look, we're not going to come to a point of agreement about this, and you're not going to change my mind, and I'm not going to change your mind. And the person turned around and walked away and said, well, I'm glad you agree with me.
Yeah, at least we can agree on that.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about Ezekiel and Isaiah and the prophets and the voices to Israel in those days, but there are parallels in the church, and there are voices. There are people that are called to speak out and people that are called to stand watch and people that are called to intercede for the church and for the nation. And we're very, very clear here. We've talked about this. I do not believe in replacement theology. I don't think the church replaces Israel. And I certainly don't think that America is God's chosen people. Just make sure that we're clear on that. But we certainly have had God's blessing over the years. And the principles, Paul tells us that the things that were taking place in the old covenant were examples to us. And so many of the things, the principles are the same. So I think there is still a need for the watchman on the wall. I think there is still the need for the man to stand in the gap, a man, woman, or anyone who will intercede for God's people and for their own home nation. There are intercessors in every nation. Goodness, you know, there are some real prayer warriors in China. They have to pray to survive. We need a desperation in this country, people who will pray and seek God and intercede. I want to encourage you, folks, as a Christian, if you're a believer, if you're a person of faith, I encourage you to take action on many, many levels. Let your voice be heard. You don't have to have your own radio show to have a platform, to be a voice. You can talk to people you know and share with them what you believe. Ask them questions. Why did you vote for this guy? You know, or why do you believe what you believe? And let your voice be heard. And then share with people what you believe and why you believe it and how you feel about these issues. Write to your local representatives. I've kind of got a lucky thing. I've got a guy that calls me, and he's a solid, solid Christian and a solid, solid patriot. But write to your representatives. It does matter. And I'm told that for one letter that a person will write sincerely, that it represents another 20 people who won't take up the pen and write. So write to your representatives and tell them if there's a bill that they're getting ready to pass or that they're going to vote on or any legislation, write to them and tell them why you're for or against it. There are some that even after they're elected are still concerned about the people they're supposed to be representing. Let them know. And, oh boy, if you must, participate in a peaceful demonstration. You know, there have been some great things done with marches. We've had Christian marches in the Capitol. They do get people's attention. I told you about before the Roe v. Wade thing was overturned, and the Justice Foundation, who I know fairly well here in town, and Alan Parker Jr., they had a scroll with over 1 million signatures of women who had had abortions that were asking the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade because of how negatively that abortion had affected them and their family. And they rolled out this scroll down the steps of the Supreme Court. It's really powerful, and it got some attention. And there are people that went, they paid their own way and went out and stood their ground. And they were a voice. And you can do that. And you might not do something that quite dramatic, but you can be a voice somewhere. So let your voice be heard. And now we've talked about this. I believe you should vote, but I think you need to be informed. You need to know where the candidates stand on the issues, and you need to know what that proposition really means before you vote yes or no, and get someone that can help you, because it is hard to discern some of that stuff. But we need to vote, and we need to vote informed and educated, and vote your conscience. Don't vote on how you're going to be blessed financially. I remember, boy, back when Bill Clinton was president, and or maybe he was still running, but there are all the scandals. That, my goodness, that guy had more scandals with women than anybody I could think of that held office in the White House. And Dennis Miller, one of my favorites, he said, the American people don't care what Bill Clinton does in bed as long as he leaves $20 on your dresser in the morning.
Oh, boy.
And the point of that was, what was Clinton's thing? It's the economy, stupid. And Americans, they didn't care what a scoundrel he was. They didn't care what a womanizer he was. They didn't care how abusive he was, as long as their pocketbook was fat. And that's a shame. We can't let the almighty dollar be the bottom line for how we vote. We might have to tighten things up. It's going to take an enormous effort to turn this economy around now. There's so much damage been done, and we're so far in debt. It isn't just about how much money you get. Don't fall for those promises and the handouts. You always have to pay the piper in the end. So vote informed, vote your conscience, and then this, and I hope we have enough time, I could pray. Pray like you've never prayed. We must take no rest for ourselves. That's what that scripture says. They took no rest for themselves. Pray and faint not, Jesus said. Pray without ceasing. Fast and pray. If you've never done that, talk to your doctor if you have any kind of issues health-wise or with your diet. But fasting and praying is a powerful thing. Sometimes that nothing can substitute for fasting and praying. Pray like your lives depend on it, because it just might. Pray like your children's future depends on it, because it does. Pray like our nation's future depends on it, because it does. So that's my appeal, and I know I'm sometimes like a broken record, but you give me the opportunity to come on this show and to express my feelings and beliefs and share my convictions, and I think we need intercessors. We need people who will be proactive, people who are called to it, to go out and be political and take a stand, march if you must, vote if you must, run for office. That's what my friend Mark did. But even if you can't do those things, you can pray. Every Christian can pray. And pray for our leaders. Pray for our law enforcement officers. Pray for them all. God bless them.
Well, Jim, yes, you may be like a broken record at times, but it's a message people are not hearing nearly enough. So we could use a few broken records. And you're going to be back with us next week as well, aren't you?
Yes, next week. We'll be right here.
Okay, the record will break again next week. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show.